Thank you for being a Bump 2 subscriber. In this member-only podcast, Daryl and I explore the power of negative experiences, the role of pain in learning, and Daryl asks a very intriguing question. Is there a better way to learn? You know, you have a great quote. I think it's from your book. You say, you may never heal from your pain, but you may get stronger.
Oh my gosh, this made me so happy. Somebody reads my book. I forgot I wrote that. This is really good stuff. Great job, author Daryl.
I think it's incredibly insightful because in terms of healing, we all try to get rid of these negative pieces. And sometimes you can succeed, but many times you don't.
Yeah.
But from that from those negative experiences, you can learn and grow. And they can, in that way, be incredibly helpful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Yes. Man, I'm like surprised that I wrote that. I'm really proud of myself. Like my own material is benefiting me in this real moment. It's so good because I think sometimes, here's why I remember I wrote it, because a lot of people wait till they feel completely healed from pain before they move forward. And if you do that, you'll delay healing that can only come from doing.
I think we really learn on a gut level from experience. Experiential learning is where it's at. Mm-hmm. And you can intellectually know everything in the world, but until you feel it, you will not get it.
That's right. That's right. See, now you should write the book.
Working on that. Well, there's so many interesting themes that come out of Bump in the Road, and I think vulnerability is one common theme. Of all people who have managed to make these transitions from really difficult situations to move forward. And it's getting real with yourself, which is not easy.
Yeah. I'm laughing in my head right now because, you know, can I swear on your podcast? Is that okay?
Sure. Keep it reasonably clean.
Okay. No, I don't usually swear. I'm a pastor by day. But I'm quoting someone, which is why I want to be authentic to the person who said it. So my mentor, one of my mentors is David Meltzer. He's a top business coach in the world and amazing person, does a lot of great things. And I'm asking him about success, you know, because he's multimillionaire times 100 plus. And he's connected to a lot of billionaires and rich, successful people. And the thing I love about his story is he had it all, lost it all, and got it all again, right? And so I was asking him on my podcast, and I said, you know, David, you know, because he's given all these tips, Pat, like you said, you got to be vulnerable, you know, be more interested than interesting. And like he's saying all this like softer stuff, right? And then everybody's like, yeah, okay, like, how do you close $1 million deal, you know? And I was like, what would you say to the person? This is my question to David. What would you say to the person who's like, yeah, that's easy for you to say. You've got millions of dollars. You got network. You got friend. Like this, I'm a nice person. This stuff ain't working for me. What would you say to them? I quote, he says, how the hell do you think I got here, idiot? David is funny. But his point was this, is like, the moment he stopped doing those things and embracing vulnerability and being kind and being of service and being of humility is when he began to lose it all. He says the hardest thing for people to understand about his story is that when you have a lot of money, you are losing it and it takes a long time to lose it. And so that was happening. He just, you know, he still had money, but he was losing it and he wasn't being of service. He had a big ego. And it was those very principles that helped him to then build the life that he again has. So I just say to people, like, you know, that's like, well, give me the tactic, give me the tip, give me the sales script, that like vulnerability is the sales script, that humility is the strategy. And if that isn't at your core, then the tactic won't help you.
No, being ego-based eventually comes back at you, I think.
Mm-hmm. Always.
You know, when you look back at things, would you redo any of the events that happened in your life? I mean,
yes.
If you could rewrite it.
And it's so funny. This is such a tough question because everyone who asked me this there is this element of obviously what I've been through has made me who I am. But I really feel like there's a better way to learn without going through trauma. Just like and what I always say to make my point right here, Pat, is I don't want my daughters to have to go through any of that I went through, but I want them to have huge compassion for others. And so one of the things that my dad did for me, so I had an opioid addiction, but I never had an alcohol addiction, okay? And one of the reasons why I didn't is because growing up, now I'm not saying it's right, I'm just sharing a story, okay? My dad would take me to bars with him when I was young, and he would people watch with me, and he would say, hey, I want you to watch this. Watch how this person is completely normal, and then watch what alcohol does to them. And he, you know, an hour later, here they are acting crazy, out of character. And he's like, see that? And I'm telling you, that helped me. That was much better than him telling me don't drink and stuff like that. So even when I began to drink, I would never cross my limit because I never wanted to be those examples that I saw. And so in a similar fashion, I think when we learn from the mistakes of others, when we hear compelling stories of hardships, that produces the same compassion that actually going through the trauma produced in me. It's just my theory. I don't have the proof or haven't done the study, but I really feel like there's a better way to be highly compassionate and live in power than to go through trauma.
Wow, that would be such an interesting path, wouldn't it?
It would be. And I tell people this all the time. People say, man, you don't know me. You wouldn't walk a mile in my shoes. And I say, nope, you're right. I don't plan to, but I will learn from every mile you walked.
But you have to be open to learning. And part of being open is not being ego-based.
Correct.
It is being vulnerable. It is being humble.
Yes.
And being willing to listen.
Yes. You're exactly right.
And how much of our population is in that situation?
Oh, man, why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? That's all I don't know what's going on.
Talk a little, if you would, about second chance athletes.
Oh, man. It's just a place for people to come and share their story and know that there's people out there who put all their eggs in one basket and needed a second chance to succeed in life without the demands of sports. So that's the hux of the community. It's a solution hub. So we do have a core curriculum that's outlined in my book. But more than that, we have a ton of partners who we connect people to in order to get help with the things they need to thrive after sports. So nutritionists would be a good example. Counseling would be a good example. Business development, brand building. We don't do any of those in-house, but we have partners who we refer people to because they know athletes well and they serve our clients really good.
What's the average age in the group? Is it a high school or a college or even
Everyone
an older
crowd? Always asking that question. I always say it's not a level of athlete. It's a type. It's an athlete with high athletic identity. Athletic identity is the degree to which you identify with the role of being an athlete. Okay, so the more holistic view you have of your identity, the lower your athletic identity will be, or weaker is the correct scientific term. So if you have strong athletic identity, it's all you see yourself as an athlete. Okay, so when people say, you know, who are you or who do you play for? And that's like all you have to talk about. Then you probably have strong athletic identity. And that's the type of people we attract from high school to Olympic level. It's all over. Okay. If there's a primary audience, it's probably college and pro. Mm-hmm.
I think we all have strong identities. It might be identity with a school. It might be identity with a job. It might be identity with even a recreational sport.
Absolutely.
And when you lose that, it is a significant gap in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime you attach your identity to your activity, you set yourself up for disappointment.
But how do you not attach your identity to an activity that is all-consuming?
Very easy. Here's an exercise that my mentor made me do. Introduce yourself without telling people what you do.
Oh, that's interesting.
What is this? And I'm founder of Six Genius Athletes, and I'm a speaker coach. And it's like, no, do it without that. Okay, my name is Daryl, and I enjoy long walks in solitude. I love to go to movies by myself. I want to be known in life for how I love and for how I give. See the difference?
Massive
one,
difference.
One is who I am. The other is what I do.
Well, one's from the inside out. The other one's from the outside in.
Absolutely. See, we're going to co-author a book now. Just keep going. Let's just hope someone's transcribing this. Co-author.
Well, you know, I think if you hit enough bumps in the road, you start to look for meaning in it. Because mm-hmm. there has to be meaning in the suffering that you go through. And you may not be able to see it at the time because you're in the midst of it, or you lack the wisdom to try to look for truth in difficulty. But hopefully, as you go along in life, you start to see that when one door closes truly, another door does open. It always does.
Yeah.
You just have to be patient sometimes and let it evolve.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I do think there's superhumans in the world. And over the course of time, who have developed the skill to be able to see the purpose while they're in the pain. That is Gandhi for me. That is Martin Luther King for me. That is some of these individuals who found a way in the midst of extreme suffering to still find purpose, and not in retrospect. That's powerful. It's a powerful thing if you can recognize the pain you're going through and the purpose of it while you're in it, because here's why. You can enjoy your season. A lot of people treat the process as a means to an end, but the process is a gift in itself.
I think that is true, a hard gift sometimes to realize. But I think also in the examples you brought up, like Martin Luther King and Gandhi, they had passion and meaning and purpose mm-hmm. that transcended their pain.
Yes, and they had perspective. Which is what meaning is perspective, right? Because in retrospect, we look back and we say, oh, that's what was going on in my life. That's why I need that. But in the middle of it, that meaning comes from perspective. And it's very simple, not easy, to get that perspective when you're going through difficult times. And all you got to do is pause, stop trying to make the pain go away, get like a 50,000-foot view of your life, and ask some really intriguing questions like this. What does this current hardship make possible for me? What can I learn today from what I'm going through right now? What is this showing me about my relationships? What is this showing me about how I feel about me? When you have that reflection, boom, perspective, and it gives meaning to your pain while you're in it.
I think, too, if you can look at a situation and ask yourself, what can I pull out of this to move forward? What are my strengths? Mm-hmm. What are the positive attributes that exist in this mess of a situation? Mm-hmm. I think that can also be incredibly helpful in terms of creating a narrative that helps propel you forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime you have perspective, it decreases the pain you feel.
You know, I think we have you touched on meaning. I think that to live a rich life, you need to have meaning in your life. You need to have a real passion for something that is usually oriented towards helping others. I think that is where the strongest, most sincere passion comes from.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, you can want to get rich or this or that, but that's all external and fleeting. But as you were saying with the story of the little girl who was cutting herself, the ability to connect with somebody and just touch and change one life mm-hmm. is truly profound.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. I love the Dr. Seuss quote. He says, to the world, you may just be someone, but to someone, you may be the world.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.